how controversial are you as a believer in Jesus Christ? Do you tend to stir up discussion and maybe some animosity, or are you just so chill and easy? Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And today we want to talk about controversial Christians. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." We are salt and we are light. That is what the Lord's called us to do, to be in this world. We are His witnesses and we have power because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And we're called to shine the light. And Jesus said that He's the light of the world. And He said, "Men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil doesn't come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who comes to the light, what does he find? He finds salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ." Everyone who does evil, Jesus said, hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Now, as followers of Christ, we are lights in this world. We shine the light on the darkness. And the darkness doesn't like to be exposed. And so what do people do when the light shines and they don't want it to their sins to be exposed? They want to put out the light. Think about the idea of salt. So you're the salt of the earth. Salt, what does it do? Well, salt does several things. Salt seasons food, and salt preserves, and salt cleanses. It cleanses wounds, and salt burns in the wound. And so as we conduct a powerful Christian life, the kind of Christian life God wants us to have as faithful witnesses and powerful witnesses, bold witnesses for Christ, we're going to shine the light and we're going to burn in a wound and people are going to get upset. And that's exactly the testimony that the Apostle Paul had on his missionary journey to Thessalonica. I love what the scripture says about this. Acts chapter 17, Paul and Silas go to Thessalonica, and it says, "According to Paul's custom, he went to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures," the them is the Jews, "explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus whom I'm proclaiming to you is the Christ.' And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with a great multitude of the God-fearing Greeks and a number of the leading women. But the Jews," now watch this, "they became jealous, and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, they formed a mob and set the city in an uproar, and coming upon the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the people, and when they did not find them," Paul and Silas, "they began dragging Jason and some brethren before the city authorities, shouting, 'These men who have upset the world have come here also. And Jason has welcomed them, and they all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus.' And they stirred up the crowd and the city authorities who heard these things. And when they had received a pledge, a bond from Jason and the others, they released them." I love that. Acts chapter 17, verse 6. "These men who have upset the world have come here also." What does it mean to upset the world? It means you disturb and throw into commotion and unsettle the world. Did you know that is the job of a Christian? We are called to be controversial because the message of the gospel is a controversial, offensive message. It calls people to repentance. It tells people that they're sinners in need of a savior. People don't like that. They don't like to be called sinners. They have this attitude, how dare you call me a sinner? How dare you say what I'm doing is sin? And the Bible talks about that, 1 John chapter 1, very specifically. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the Christian life. We're constantly bringing our sin before the Lord. We're making sure our heart's right with him. We're walking in the light with him. But then it says this, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. That's the world we're living in today. People say, well, I haven't sinned. I have no sin. This is not a sin. My homosexuality is not a sin. My fornication is not a sin. My adultery is not a sin. And so when we do that, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. And when we say we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar and his word is not in us. That is serious, serious stuff right there, to call God a liar. So what is a controversial Christian? A controversial Christian is a faithful Christian. A controversial Christian is a Christian who stands up boldly and says Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. A controversial Christian says, hey, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, eternal death, separation from God for all eternity in a terrible, horrible place called hell. Listen, you start preaching that, and people will get mad at you, and you're going to upset them. How dare you upset me? But that's the job of a Christian, to speak the truth in love and to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. You know, we have a world of people who are comfortable in their sin, and they're comfortable in their trajectory as they travel down on the highway to hell. They need to be confronted, and they need to be awakened to the fact that, hey, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke 13:3, Luke 13:5, from the lips of Jesus. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You know, we don't hear enough about the word repentance, and we don't hear that preached enough. And this idea that you just believe in Jesus, well, how are you saved? You just believe in Jesus, receive Jesus, ask Jesus into your heart. Listen, the Bible obviously says that as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. But the Bible connects repentance and belief together. The Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20, he was solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of two things, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith. God is not willing that any should perish, 2 Peter 3:9, but that all should come to repentance. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now we repent and believe, and those things are done just bam, bam, like that. I turn from sin. I change your repentance, metanoia in the Greek means to change your mind. So I change my mind of what I think about sin, what I think about self, what I think about the Savior, and I turn from sin and I turn to Christ to save me. I recognize when I repent, I'm like the prodigal son. I recognize that I'm at the pigsty. I come to my senses and I say with the prodigal son, I will get up and go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And what did the prodigal do? He got up and left the pigsty and went to his father. That's a picture of repentance. And we need to call men, women, boys, and girls to repentance and faith. And when we do, we become controversial. Controversial in the minds of the world and very much hated by the world. And Jesus said, hey, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. We have people that say, well, you know, you guys need to be more like Jesus. Jesus just loved everyone. I saw a a tweet the other day. It was either by Meg Basham or Jenna Ellis, but it said, you know, if Jesus just loved everyone, how did he end up on the cross? Because typically you don't just crucify someone because he is just so loving and kind and conciliatory and sweet and gracious. And you know, Jesus was all those things, but he spoke the truth in love. And the Bible tells us in the book of Ezekiel that he's called us to be watchmen on the wall. And we're to sound the alarm when we see the enemy coming and when we see the danger coming, to alert people to the fact that there is a danger ahead. If you ever watch the old show Lost in Space, the robot on Lost in Space, his alarm system was danger, 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 Will Robinson. And his arms would come out and he'd wave his arms to let Will Robinson and the Robinsons know that there was some alien approaching, there was some danger. Well, that's a good picture of what a Christian is to do. A controversial Christian is a faithful Christian. We upset the world. Why? Because we tell them, you are in danger. You're a sinner and you're lost. And you're not only just a lost sinner, you're a helpless, hopeless lost sinner. You're on the highway to hell. There's no getting off in and of yourselves. You have to trust Jesus. He is the only off-ramp. And you have to turn from sin, from self, from your own good works, and turn and trust him alone. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. Well, we are going to be privileged in this next segment to listen to a controversial Christian. From his perspective, he's not controversial at all. And from a Christian perspective, he's not controversial at all. He's faithful. His name is Kirk Cameron from Growing Pains fame and many movies and all the things that he's done. He's got a new book out that has created quite a stir. It's a new children's book called As You Grow. And it's talking about growing for kids, growing the fruit of the Spirit. And Kirk is trying to be able to read that book in libraries, and the same libraries that host Drag Queen Story Hour have told Kirk that you know, his book is too controversial. In today's America, it's not controversial to be a man dressed up as a woman and sexualizing our kids, but it is controversial to read a children's book that encourages the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. So Kirk is always seems to find himself in the middle of controversy because he is a faithful Christian. He does sound the alarm. He does stand up for truth. He speaks the truth in love. And so in our next segment, he's going to come on and share just what's going on, and is going to be an encouragement to you and to me about how we can make that same stand. Now, just want to let you know, I interviewed Kirk right before Christmas, so we're going to talk a little bit about Christmas and the weather and things like that, but we're able to play that interview today, and so I know it's going to be a blessing to you. And so you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're talking about being a controversial Christian. A controversial Christian like Paul and Silas, Christians who upset the world because they are salt and they are light. Listen, we are twice born people living in a world of once born people. And the message that we have is countercultural, and it is a call to come out from among them and be separate. It's a call to repentance. It calls people to the truth that they're sinners in need of a Savior, and it makes people uncomfortable for those who reject, but for those who accept, it changes their lives from the inside out for all eternity. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Kirk. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Rob West, host of MoneyWise, heard here on American Family Radio. At MoneyWise, we understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. A charitable gift annuity benefits the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. It helps ensure American Family Association is here boldly standing for biblical principles well into the future. And the charitable gift annuity allows you to shore up permanent income for life. Reach out to Riley Wildman and the team at the AFA Foundation today to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net. Oh, and thanks for listening to MoneyWise.
Two Iowa teenagers are accused of killing their Spanish teacher. The reason is shocking. She gave them a bad grade. Maybe the reason for their violent behavior is revealed by a poll of younger Americans. Most said there's no absolute truth, and each person determines right and wrong. So why are we surprised? Modern education tells kids there's no God, and since the Bible is irrelevant, thou shalt not murder is optional. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. There were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And it is a great privilege of mine to welcome back to the program a wonderful friend and a faithful and bold witness, actor, director, author, evangelist, all-around good guy, Kirk Cameron. Kirk, welcome to the program.
Hey, man. Thank you so much. Great to talk with you, Jeff. How are you?
Well, doing well. How about yourself?
Doing great. I'm just looking forward to Christmas. Got some, my kids are coming home, and weather's beautiful here in California. So all is good.
Yeah, it's freezing cold, dropping like a rock here in Texarkana, but that's okay. We may get some snow, who knows, maybe a white Christmas. So Kirk, you're such a great and powerful, bold witness for the Lord, but with that comes a lot of controversy, because as the scripture says, Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. And one of the things I love about you, my friend, is that you don't back away from being a bold witness. So let's talk about the controversy surrounding your new children's book, As You Grow. It doesn't seem like that would be a controversial thing, but it has become that. Why would you say that is?
I'm sorry, Jeff. Did you say why is my book controversial?
It seems like people see your book as controversial.
Yeah.
I don't.
No, I don't either, except if you've redefined the normal narrative in terms of darkness, then it's very controversial to darkness. It's very controversial to pagan woke ideology. Then it is controversial, but not in America. That's not how it should be. Noah Webster, our founding father and the father of American education, he gave us Webster's Dictionary, and he educated five generations of American children, teaching them how to spell with his famous blueback spellers. And he said that biblical wisdom and the Christian religion is the most important thing and one of the first things in which children of a free republic like ours ought to be instructed. George Washington, virtue and true religion are indispensable supports for a republic like ours. And the scriptures say there's nothing more important than raising our children in the fear and instruction of the Lord. So this is not a controversial book to us as believers, but it is highly problematic. It is treason to the kingdom of darkness. And that's why people are talking about it.
Okay, so when did you have it in your heart to write this book?
Well, I wrote this book earlier this year, and there are so many public library story hours that are going on around the country that are teaching kids values that are highly controversial. You have drag queens, you have men dressed in women's lingerie teaching children about sexuality at 5 years old. This is highly concerning. And so I wrote this book about biblical wisdom to teach kids how to move through the seasons of life with wisdom and to grow the fruit of the Spirit: love, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And when I wanted to do a public reading at public libraries, over 50 woke libraries denied me, even though they're the same libraries doing drag queen story hours and gender name change clinics and things like this.
So now I just saw on Fox News that they're starting to cave. That's as of what, yesterday or the day before, that they're starting to say, Kirk, you can come now. Is that right?
So what we did was I sent a couple of letters to the two libraries that gave me the clearest no's. You can't come here. We're not interested. Your messaging doesn't align types of responses, and let them know that I'd love for them to read a book. I gave them a free copy, told them that these are the kind of values that I think all of us want to see in our children, and hope that they would reconsider. And if they continued to discriminate against biblical values in the public square, remember, these are public libraries paid for by community tax dollars, that I would be prepared to assert my constitutional rights in court. After those letters were published and sent, we got messages from them saying, here's how you sign up. Here's how you can come over to our library and read your book.
Well, hey, praise God that you didn't back down. You kept bringing it to them. They don't have a leg to stand on based on the Constitution. But Kirk, as you well know and have experienced firsthand, we don't play on a level playing field when it comes to the public square, since Christianity is, just as you said, it's considered so dangerous and so, controversial. And yet Drag Queen Story Hour and all the abominations that we've led into our public square, those are considered fine. How do you deal with that as a public figure and as somebody who I can testify is a genuinely nice person? How do you respond, Kirk, to people demonizing you and vilifying you, and how are you able to not let that maybe make you sour or a little jaded?
Well, I'm not going to get sour. I'm not going to get bitter and jaded. I'm actually learning a lot through this whole process. I have teenage children and young adult children. And if you've raised a teenager and a young adult who makes poor decisions, you start to learn that you can't babysit them forever, right? At some point, you have to let them deal with the consequences of their own poor choices. You follow me? You with me so far?
Sure.
Right. So you think, wow, you know, a wise parent learns that you eventually have to let the real world spank your kids. When they make poor decisions, you can't rescue them. And right. It's interesting. If you look at Romans chapter one, now I'm going somewhere with this, so just follow me. You look at Romans chapter one, and God talks about how people, children of you know, creatures that the Lord made have declared themselves to be so wise, they've actually become fools. They've rejected God, exchanged the truth for a lie, and God gives them over to it. He says, you want it? Here, I'll hand you over to your own depraved minds. Your hearts will become dark. You'll be filled with all sorts of iniquity, and you will go so far down that sewer hole that you're going to choke on this. And that's exactly what I'm going to allow you to do. Have what you want. And we see over and over and over in the Old Testament that that's exactly what the children of Israel did. And that's the point at which they finally come to their senses, like the prodigal son, and said, oh God, what have I done? I'm in a sewer. I'm eating pig food. I will turn back to the Lord. And I can't help but feel, Jeff, that, you know, God is dealing with us as the family of faith, even here in America, as a wayward teenage child who wants perverted sexuality, that wants a perversion of marriage and family, who wants idols and money and comfort and complacency more than they want discipline and self-sacrifice and self-denial and following Jesus. And so maybe God's just giving us drag queen story hour and everything else, because as a culture, that's what we've wanted, that's what we've allowed, and he's allowing us to see where that takes us. And my hope is that we will finally say, holy cow, what have we done? We weren't taken over by anyone. We can't blame somebody else on the left. We wanted this. We handed it over to them. We stopped doing what God told us to do with our children, and we surrendered the ground to the enemies of God, and now we're sleeping in the bed that we've made for ourselves. We need to repent. We need to turn back to God, and maybe he will send times of refreshing and revival. That's where I think we're headed, and I hope it does happen. I hope people snap out of this, wake up and smell the coffee and say, oh God, what have we done? Revive us again.
Amen. Yeah, we desperately need that. You know, I was thinking, Kirk, the seven letters to the seven churches, to five of those churches, they're told to repent. Only two got a good report from the Lord, and the other five were told to repent. And then the church at Laodicea, the Lord is knocking on the door, let me in. And so it's a important time for the church to wake up. And Church of Sardis, wake up and be the church and be the people that I've called you to be. One of the things I love about you, Kirk, is you don't back down. You are bold, as the scripture says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do you see any more people that are joining you that are well known, as you are well known? I know your sister is an outspoken believer, but are you seeing more in maybe in the Hollywood circles that are starting to say, hey, I need to stand up for the Lord?
Yes. This is what's so encouraging. You know, I was blessed enough to have one of my very best friends was a Christian historian. And he said, Kirk, don't get down in the dumps. Don't get into despair, because remember, covenant keepers win, covenant breakers lose every time. You just have to stick around long enough to see the end of the story. And I'm not talking about end of the world revelation stuff. He's saying, Kirk, there were times in history where all hope seemed lost. Despair was at an all-time high because politics were in the toilet. The church was weak. Lawlessness abounded. The economy was just devastated. And it's during those times when a small group of committed believers starts preaching the gospel. a fire gets sparked, and that fire spreads from one person to one family to one church to a community, and entire nations get transformed, like St. Patrick did in Ireland, like John Knox did in Scotland, like Luther did in Germany, like Calvin did, providing religious liberty that the world had never known. The Puritans, the Pilgrims, the Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening. These things are, they look like they could never happen, but they do. And they happen during times of moral, spiritual decline and economic collapse and political corruption. And so I say, man, I'm joining St. Patrick. I'm joining George Whitefield. Those guys are the studs. I'm just little old me, but I see moms and dads and even grandparents, pastors, and librarians getting a hold of this story and saying, I want to hold a story hour at my public library for our community. And I can do this. The Constitution protects this. Our founding fathers told us that education without the Bible is useless, and that the only hope we have is to get back to those values that produce human flourishing, and they're found in the Word of God. So, yes, people are waking up, and I want to be at the heart of revival in America.
Well, you've done a lot for that, and you've been at our church several times talking about revival in America, and I appreciate you, appreciate your message. And so, Kirk, what would you hope to achieve through the book? Because I know that this is your first children's book, is that right?
Yeah. Ultimately, the book is great. You're going to love it. It's beautifully written. You know, if somebody wants to get a copy of the book, it's easy. You can just get it at Amazon. You can get it at bravebooks.com. I'd go there because they got lots more books. They got one called Elephants Are Not Birds. You can imagine that's all about transgenderism. And it's great. They're beautiful little stories, beautifully illustrated, biblical, pro-God, pro-America values. But what I'm hoping to accomplish is far bigger than this book. And that is, moms and dads, these children's souls are in the balance. We have everything at stake. And now is the time to get out of the stands and into the arena. You don't have to become a missionary and go to Africa to preach the gospel. God bless the people who do. But we won't have a country or a future or the ability to ever do things like that anymore if we let the United States of America become North Korea or China. So let's realize Christ died for us. Let's live for him. Stop being afraid. Let's stop crying in our Chick-fil-A soup every time someone tells us that they don't like our Bible. And let's get on the offense and make a 100-year plan for our great-grandchildren that includes virtue, morality, faith, and freedom.
I love it. That's excellent. Well, Kirk, I just appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for your strong stand, and thanks that you don't back down, because a lot of people, they don't handle the heat very well, and when they get skewered on social media or whatever, they'll back down or apologize, and you don't ever do that. And so I appreciate that. I hope you don't ever back down, because you're making a big difference.
Well, I'm not particularly gutsy or brave. I just know that the enemy underestimates the power of our boss.
Well said. He really does. And one of my favorite verses, Jeremiah 32:27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? And the answer is,
I know the answer.
You know the answer, don't you, Kirk? Amen.
Yeah, no, not a chance. You know, covenant keepers win, covenant breakers lose, because the King of Kings is telling a story and his kingdom wins.
Amen. Well, thank you, my friend. I appreciate you giving me your time. Hope you have a great Christmas with your family. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, and Merry Christmas, you guys.
Amen. Well, that was actor, director, author, evangelist, and bold witness Kirk Cameron. We're talking about his new book, As You Grow. And the subject today is controversial Christians. Hey, when we come out from among them and when we are separate and we stand and shine and share for the Lord, He uses us. The world hates it, but the Lord loves it, and He will bless us for doing that. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
The AFA Resource Center has all your favorite items. Everything from books, movies, shirts, and even hats. Introducing AFA's polyester and twill hats, starting at just $18. Whether you're into fashion, a collector, or you're just having a bad hair day, these hats are just what you need. You can buy one for yourself or a friend. Purchase your AFA hat today at resources.afa.net.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
My name is Rick Scarborough. This is Come Home America.
Unlike most Mondays, today is a holiday, and for many, it's a day reserved for football, leisure, and free time. It's also a good day for Christians to assess why we're witnessing such an explosion of evil in our nation. Many are asking why. Well, the answer to that question is that while the church was experiencing a time of recovery from COVID-19 and return to some form of normalcy, Satan was working overtime, seizing the moment. The shutdowns of 2020 revealed just how willing many church leaders were to be led by Big Brother government, and we gave in. We caved in. It's time for the church now to rise up and say once again, we are sons of the King. This is Come Home America, and my name is Rick Scarborough. Go to our website, recoveramerica.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. They're great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here as your host. We're talking about being a controversial Christian, which is just another way of being saying you're going to be a faithful Christian. You're going to be faithful and true. And you're not going to cave to the pressure that the world puts upon you and upon me to shut up and just go along with the status quo. You know, in Acts chapter 4, we read about Peter and John, and they're arrested by the Sanhedrin, and they are commanded to speak no more in the name of Jesus. And said the religious leaders at the among the Sadducees, they said, "What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Remember, they raised the guy in Acts 3 who was lame from his mother's womb. They raised him up, and his legs were straightened. It was a miracle from God. But we cannot deny it. which is amazing that the religious leaders wanted to deny it, but they couldn't. Instead of rejoicing at what God had done, they wanted to deny the miracle. But it says this, Acts 4:17, but in order that they may not spread any further, that it, the message may not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to any man in this name, the name of Jesus. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. And then they go on in Acts 4, and I love this. They get together with the believers, and they tell them everything that happened, and then they have a great prayer. And in their prayer, they say this, and now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, with all boldness, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. They prayed for boldness, and they prayed for God's power to be upon them, and God answered that prayer. God wants us to be bold, controversial Christians. And as we walk with God, he uses us in great ways as we're bold for him. Now, I want to play for you a clip that I ran across just the other day on Twitter. It's from a man that I greatly admire, Dr. John MacArthur. And this is what he has to say concerning the Lord Jesus and controversy.
Jesus Christ is a controversial figure because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. It is the exclusivity of his claim that is so outrageous to a postmodern mentality, to a world of tolerance, and to a world with myriad of religions. The truth is, Jesus said, you either believe in me or you're on your way to eternal punishment, eternal hell. That's what he says. If you believe not on me, you will die in your sins, and where I go, you will never come. I mean, that is a radically narrow, exclusive statement. And that is the offense. That is the offense of Christianity. If Christians take that away, they can talk about Jesus all they want. As long as they will allow for some other religion to be acceptable to God, they can say nice things about Jesus, as long as they tolerate other things. But as soon as you say he is the way, the truth, the life, and anyone who does not put trust in Jesus Christ will perish forever in hell, the offense is just massive. It's the exclusivity of his claims that is so offensive.
I think that is a tremendous quote by Dr. John MacArthur. Now, he's not, he's a controversial character and figure because, why? Because he doesn't back down off the truth. And, you know, John speaks the truth in love, and I love that about him. You know, this whole program, Real Truth for Today, we want to highlight truth speakers and warriors for the truth, and we want to bring the truth to you each and every day to say, thus says the Lord, this is the truth from God, and this is these are the lies from the enemy, and we need to be very aware of what's going on so that we can recognize the truth and recognize the lies and walk in the truth. Now, I posted something on Facebook just the other day, and very, very controversial. I knew when I did it that it was going to be very controversial. But I saw a tweet from Elon Musk, and it's a picture of a guy, and he's got the communist symbols and the Marxist symbols on his chest, and CNN and Facebook and Twitter and Google on his arms, and he's got five syringes in his arms. He's wearing a mask. And he says to this other guy who's just carrying an American flag, he says, they brainwashed you. And the guy just carrying the American flag is saying, really? I'm the one who's brainwashed? And Elon Musk said, you know, I'm not the one who's brainwashed. You're the one who's brainwashed. And so I wrote this and I said, you know, if you find yourself believing the lies of the mainstream media, the lies of big government, the lies of big pharma, the lies of secular colleges and universities, the lies of the CDC, the lies of the World Health Organization, you're drinking the poisoned Kool-Aid. So here are some truths that will no doubt cause people to get mad at me and people to defriend me, and that's okay, so be it. And here's the thing, the test of truth is not do you personally like it or agree with it. Truth is not subjective. We've tried to put everything into subjective truth. My truth hurt your truth, his truth her truth. No, truth is objective. Truth is not in the subject, you. Truth is in the object. The sky is blue. That is an objective truth. The grass is green. It's the object, the grass. It's green. Truth is objective truth, not subjective truth. Now, if I say to you, do you like this color? Well, that's subjective because it has to do with what you like or don't like. But objective truth, the Bible gives us absolute objective truth. And the test of truth is not, do you like it or do you agree with it? The test of truth is this, is it compatible with the Word of God? Jesus said in his great high priestly prayer, Father, your word is truth. Is it, can it be proven by the scientific method? Can you go in the lab and prove that this is true? You know, you can prove gravity by science. We have evolution. It's the theory of evolution. It's a ridiculous theory, but that can't be proven in a lab. That was an act of God some 6,000-7,000 years ago, and you can't reproduce that in a lab, but we can know that it's consistent with the Word of God, that he made the world in 6 24-hour days, just like he said. And so is it compatible with the Word of God? Is it provable by science, true science, and is it historically accurate? Can you go back and say, well, this actually is what happened in history? You know, we have people today that want to rewrite everything, and you just go back and say, well, yeah, but that's not accurate. Hands up, don't shoot. That was a lie that was perpetrated some years ago with the shooting of a gentleman, and it was all a lie. And they went back and showed the video, and he never did that. He never said that. And but you spin this narrative, and so you want to be, you just create your own reality. Well, that's not the test of truth. So the test of truth, compatibility with the Word of God, provable science, historical accuracy. So here are some things that I mentioned that no doubt will make people mad. These are controversial things if you are in the darkness and in the world. Number one, God created everything in 6 days. Just as he plainly tells us in Genesis 1 and 2 and Exodus 20, verse 11. If you're not familiar with Exodus 20, verse 11, Exodus 20, 11 destroys the gap theory. The gap theory that, God created everything, but he did it over a period of billions of years. This is what the scripture says, Exodus 20, 11. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Well, that comes on the heels of the Lord saying, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. He's talking about days, 6 24-hour days. And then the next verse, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. So, evolution is a sick, twisted, demonic lie. God created everything in 6 days. Second truth, men cannot get pregnant. I mean, so basic. And what does science say? Well, science says that's true. Men don't have the equipment to get pregnant. Number three, gender is fixed, not fluid. Gender dysphoria, and those who suffer from it, we care about them, we want to help them, but gender dysphoria is a malady of the mind that is properly treated with the truth in love. It's not properly treated with lies that deny science, that inject harmful hormone drugs, or subject the person to mutilation surgery. That's not how you deal with gender dysphoria. You're going to ruin someone's life at the starting gate when you do that with a young child. Number four, life begins at conception. That's why abortion is brutal murder, murder by dismemberment. How about this one? Homosexuality is a sin. It just is. The Bible is very clear on that. Fornication is a sin. Adultery is a sin. Sexual perversion is a sin. Homosexuality is a sin. And like any sin, it becomes unpardonable if you cling to it. So people today are clinging to homosexuality. That's who I am. This is part of my personhood. Well, then you can't be saved, because no one can get saved holding on to sin. God hates sin. And we're forgiven and saved when we repent of sin, turn from sin, and put our faith and trust in Jesus. The demonic ideology of the woke left cares nothing about God, about the Word of God, about the poor, about the truth, about illegal immigrants, about law-abiding citizens, about the black community, about America, or about true science. They say we're the party of science. Baloney. Not the party of science. You're the party of wokeness. You're the party of saying that men can get pregnant. You totally reject science. You're the party of climate change, which is a joke. The Lord is over the climate. See, the Lord is allowing the devil to push us toward a one-world government and the hellish reign of the Antichrist. And the only escape for humanity is in Jesus Christ. He's God's only Son and man's only Savior. And I ended this on Facebook and said, the number one job of a Christian is to glorify the Lord by being a faithful and true witness, to shine for Christ by living a godly life. Come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord. You shall be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. So we shine for Christ, and we share the good news of the gospel, how the Lord has changed our life, and how the gospel changes lives. The gospel that teaches us that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he rose again, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day, and that he offers salvation to anyone who will repent and believe. That's the good news of the gospel. So we shine for Christ and we share. So your shine is with your life. The share is with your lips. And both your life and your lips have to be connected and involved to be a faithful and true witness. Those who have the share but they don't have the shine, you're just considered a hypocrite. People will turn you off. Those who have shine but they don't share, you're not doing what God's called you to do, which is go and tell people. And so we need to witness with both our lives and our lips. And if we do that, the world will hate us, but many will come to faith in Christ as they see, just with the apostles, that we have boldness, and we're going to stand up for Jesus. And even if it costs us our job, our friends, our freedom, or our life, we're not going to back down off the truth. I appreciate Kirk Cameron. I appreciate him doing an interview with me to talk about being that kind of a bold witness no matter what. The Lord says, be faithful, Revelation 2:10, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Make it your ambition each day to be a controversial, faithful, true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.